Wow. You know, you started this thing off singing my mom's song. Uh-huh. You know, this is my story, this is my song. It is well is what my sisters and I gathered around my dad's hospital bed and sang to him at the end, towards the end. We harmonized and sang that to my dad. Wow. I said it felt like I was home when I come here. I feel home. I feel at home here. Thank you. I wanted to share something with you. We do these little devotional coloring journals because girls love to color and doodle. But here's one. I just want to read this to you because maybe you can relate. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Philippians 3:12. Pressure cookers rattle, sizzle, and squeal as they allow only the smallest bit of steam to escape, producing tender morsels that melt in your mouth. Life presses in on me until I rattle, sizzle, and squeal. But God reminds me to press on. He isn't finished with me yet. Maybe the steam is seeping out of your life too. And friend, breathe. God is producing in you a tender heart. We have some things back there at our encouragement cafe table that I just want to share. God has brought so many talented women to Encouragement Cafe. And when we first started this, I knew I said yes to God on this journey, and some of you have said, "I never heard of Encouragement Cafe. What is it?" It started out as a radio program, and then it grew because women wanted to stay connected. And so we started a blog, and it turned into a full-blown website, and then we started doing events, and now it's just many things. We're on the radio all over the country. And the devotions and the Bible studies and the vlogs and all of that have come from God opening the door for the women that are there. Because when we sat down and I prayed about it, it was clear that God said, "This is not a Luann show. This is a ministry that I want you to swing the doors open and invite women in." And so I sent out an email. I've been speaking for Proverbs at that point for 9 years. And so I just sent out an email to girls all over the country and some in my own church and the city that I live in. And I said, "Okay, God's opened this door. Would you come and meet me at the church? And we'll have anybody that's out of town, we'll Skype you in." And so we had computers set up all around this room, and girls were Skyping in from all over the country. And I said, "Here's what God has done. He's opened a door to do this thing called Encouragement Cafe radio show. And I've been praying that He would tell you what your gifts are and if you're supposed to be involved, because I really don't know what He's telling you to do. Only God knows what He's telling you to do. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to wait for you to tell me." So there's a whole room full of women, and I go over and I sit down on the stool, and I just pray that God would reveal to them what it is they're supposed to do. And everybody kind of looks awkwardly at one another for a minute, like, "She brought us to this meeting. That's it? That's what she's going to tell?" But as I prayed, one by one popped up and said, "I'm supposed to book your guests. I'm supposed to keep the checkbook. I'm supposed to write some devotions." And it was just like all over the place. So I want to share with you those things that God started with Encouragement Cafe in 2009 are open to you. And everything that you see on that table is women that just stepped in and said, "Here's what God is sharing with me." So feel free to contact us, because if you have something that God is laying on your heart, we're a place, we're a safe, that's what we like to say, we're a safe place to land. Because I know I was with Proverbs for many years, but there was not a lot of room for new people. to come in. It was kind of a small group core of us. And my heart was always burdened by all the women that God is constantly calling to do something. And so if nothing else, we can help you get comfortable with your story and how God wants to share your story, maybe in your own neighborhood, maybe in a Bible study near you. But I want to share this little snippet with you. The opposite of worry is worship. The opposite of worry is worship. And I know that we as women love to sit around and worry about the things that we can't control. We can't control our kids too often, especially when they're grown. We can't control a lot of things, but we have a tendency to meditate on those things and it turns into worry. And God says, would you change that up a little bit and would you start worshiping me? So I want to get you in a new habit. You know, a lot of us have old habits that die hard. So I want you to promise me the next time you start to worry about something, instead of worrying, you're just going to start singing a song like you've heard here this weekend. Because when you worship God, there's no room for worry. You can't do both. It's one or the other. So the next time you start worrying, that's what I want you to think. But today I'm going to take you to a little passage in the Bible because I am Peter. I wish I were Paul, because Paul did so many great things, you know, and he was constantly telling his story and retelling his story, and everywhere he went, he was constantly telling people. And every time you tell somebody your story, it kind of reignites the fire in you. And 3 years ago, I told you my word was undivided, and last year, my word was discipline. And this year, my word is fire. And God said, Luann, I need you to have that same fire that you did when you started this in the beginning. I need you to catch fire, so I need you to start retelling and telling your story over again. And last year, when my word was discipline, I don't know if you've caught this or not, I'm a little bit of a rebel. And so when God said, discipline is your word, I was like, oh, can I have a do-over? I really don't like that word, God. But he was like, no, that's your word. And so I got into doing things regularly, like getting up in the morning. I love mornings, but I kind of like to have my own time in the morning. And God said, no, that early morning time is my time. And so every morning I'm up and I'm in the Word and I'm studying and I'm finding out what God wants. But it wasn't easy. It was something that I had to discipline myself to do. And then last year, there was this crazy set of circumstances. You know, it's like God orchestrated all of this. So I found out about this study being done at the hospital where they were doing a research project for Alzheimer's. And they wanted to know if certain foods would make a difference in Alzheimer patients, or if it affected the things that Alzheimer's people deal with. And because my mom had passed away with it, I was anxious to do anything to find out. And so I went to the hospital and they said, well, you've got to have all these tests done. You've got to have 2 lumbar punctures. Ow. That did not sound good. And then you have to eat what we give you morning, lunch, dinner, and snacks for 30 days. You can't have anything else, nothing else, just what we give you. I was like, whoo, Lord, you're talking discipline big time. And so I went in for the MRIs and the CAT scans and the body fat thingy. That was not lovely. But I did all of those things so that I would be able to maybe make a difference in research for Alzheimer's. And what I discovered is there was a little bit of discipline that I never knew I could have. Like, I got up in the morning and I only ate that little tiny piece of cardboard they gave me, and they called it breakfast. And I went to lunch, and I only had what they gave me for lunch, and I only had what they gave me for dinner. And I'm not kidding you. It would fit, I don't know, behind this Post-it note. But I learned that I could do it. And so that little bit of discipline along the way taught me that this year, God said, okay, you undivided yourself. You now know what discipline looks like, and now I'm going to light the fire under you, because now, girl, you're ready to go and take some of these girls with you. So I want you to know that Encouragement Cafe is something that we know God uses to reach people across the country, across the globe, and you are invited to be a part of it. So when we leave here, don't let this be the end. Contact us. Make sure that you stay in touch. But I'm Peter, because I am that little bit of a rebel. I'm a little bit of that impulsive person. And I would probably have been the one to cut off the ear. I'm just saying. I would be that one. I want to be somebody else. I want to run ahead and do what God's calling me. But sometimes I get caught up in the excitement of the moment. And I would love to say that, you know, I'm Mary and I just sit at Jesus' feet all the time, and I don't. I'm Peter. But when Jesus called Peter to be a disciple, he said something really profound to him. Let me see if I've got that on the screen. Matthew 4:19. Jesus found Peter, and historians tell us that there were probably 200 boats out there, but he zeroed in on Peter. And Matthew 4:19, is that scripture there? Oh my, that is way small. Okay, here we go. Jesus found Peter and said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, I don't know about you, but when you come to God, sometimes you feel like, I'm going to just be super Christian. I'm going to morph into this wonderful testimony overnight. And that's not what God says. He says, I will make you. It's a process. Last night we talked about trusting the process. And God is going to take you through these different stages throughout your life, and he's going to teach you something every single time. And when you're going through those bad times, when you're going through the times when you're like, God, why? I want you to change the God, why, to God, what? What is it you want me to learn from this? All throughout your life, you're going to go through stages. I want to read this little passage in Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him and on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Next. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to just break this down a little bit for you. Jesus made them go ahead of him. Jesus knew that they were going to be out there and they were going to be tossing and turning and they were going to be scared to death. He knew that was going to happen. He made them go out ahead. Sometimes when you're in the middle of the storm, It's hard to understand why Jesus allowed that to happen. Why are you making me go through this? I'm scared to death. It's tossing and it's turning, and why? And while they were on their way, Jesus prayed and he waited. He waited until they were out of ways. And Jesus could have done this a whole lot of different ways. He could have written in the sky in red, but this was an impactful moment. And so he waits and he prays. And that's a really good lesson for us, because sometimes in the middle of the storm, and maybe we're watching our kids, or maybe we're watching our parents go through hard times, whatever it is we're watching someone else go through, sometimes it's hard to wait. We as women want to go fix it, right? And this is a really good example of how we should live. Jesus prayed and he waited. And then he reminded them, because the disciples feared for their life, they imagined the worst. Do you ever do that? Do you ever imagine the absolute worst is going to happen? I mean, we carry it out, don't we? We're like, okay, well, this, if this happens, then that. Oh my goodness, and pretty soon we're in a dizzy. And we can't calm down, and we can't shut our mind off at night because we're worried about, oh my goodness, what if? What if? Well, that's where they were. They feared for their life. They imagined the worst. They knew they were going to die. And then they saw him. They saw him. And Jesus said, take courage. Now Peter, impulsive Peter, headstrong Peter, take charge kind of guy Peter, he hedges for just a moment. And then he says, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. And that's all it took. Peter got out of the boat. Now, when it says this, it says he got down out of the boat. So that means that Peter had to climb up and get out and go down on the side of the boat. It's not like he had a little rubber raft. You know, it's not like he just stepped out. He had to really make a conscious effort to get up, stand up, step down, get into the water. And sometimes that's what God's calling us to do. We're living a pretty complacent life. We go through our day-to-day all the time, and we're not really willing to get up and step out and get down into the water where Jesus is. But Jesus said, come. And so Peter did, and he walked on the water. I don't know if that blows your mind, but think about this with me for a minute. Yeah, he had a doubt. People kind of focus on the doubt. Let's just be honest. We all doubt sometimes, right? I don't want to focus on the doubt today. Here's what I want to focus on. There were a whole bunch of people in that boat. A whole bunch of people were sitting in that boat, and all of them were terrified. All of them were being tossed and turned. All of them saw Jesus walking on the water, and all of them heard him say, take courage. Every one of them heard it. But there was only one that jumped up and ran out. And can you imagine? He's the only one that could feel that strangely solid feeling when he stood on the water. No one else in that boat will ever know what that feels like. No one else is hanging out there trusting. Everybody else is hunkered down, going, wonder how this thing called walking with Jesus is going to work out. People are watching us, and they're looking at how you live your life. And they're saying, I wonder how this thing called walking with Jesus is going to work out. And they're all hunkered down. And they're all wondering, how's this going to work out? And I know that everything in the Bible tells us that Peter was kind of impulsive. He denied Christ. And you could say a lot of bad things about Peter. But maybe you felt like Peter and felt like, man, when he messed up big time. I mean, he told people, no, I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. And maybe today you have felt that same feeling, like, you know, when I'm around my friends or when I've done these bad things or all the secret things that people don't know about, if they only knew, I'm too bad. God could never use me. Maybe. Anybody recognize this? Do you know that Kotex was really an accident? It was. It was made for the bandages in wartime. It was never meant to be this. It was really made to be something else. And did you know that this was a mistake? The whiteout? Anybody? I know some of you younger people are like, what's whiteout? Never heard of it before. How many know what whiteout is? Yeah. Whiteout was invented by, okay, do you remember the Monkees, the famous group? Mike Dolan's mother invented this. Yes. And she was a secretary, and she was so tired of doing all these triplicates and all of that, that she would type and then have a mistake. So she took white paint and watered it down and created something different out of it. And that white paint is now whiteout that women across America love. What about, anybody ever put one of these sticky post-its? Yes, everywhere. Yes, this was a mistake. This was a company that made glue that didn't work. It didn't stick. And now it is used by everybody. I bet everybody in this room has used a post-it note. Raise your hand if you've ever used a post-it note. These were never intended to be what they are. They were never intended to be something useful like that. And then there was back in the 1930s, they had mostly oil furnaces. And the oil furnaces would get residue on the wallpaper. Mm-hmm. And so Mr. McVickers had invented something that would take all that residue off the wallpaper. And then oil furnaces started going away. And Mr. McVickers was a little bit worried because his business was going away too. Until this school teacher in Ohio said, do you mind if I use that stuff that you take the residue off the wallpaper? Because my kids in the school, they love playing with that. How many of you have ever played with Play-Doh? This was never meant to be used as a kid's toy. It was used to remove oil residue from wallpaper. And I'm telling you this today because God has a purpose for your life that you can't possibly see. You have no idea. All you've known is what you've always done. That's all you've known. And you think it has to be like that forever. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't. I would never in a million years believe that I was going to be here talking to you again, or even the first time. I never thought I had purpose. I never dreamed that God could use me. And maybe that's where you are today. I've had a lot of girls come up to me, and they're just hanging on to the shame and the guilt, and they can't let go of it. And God says, I never meant for you to live like that. It doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter that you started out as a bandage. It doesn't matter that you started out as failed glue. It doesn't matter that you started out as paint. It doesn't matter that you started out as a residue remover for oil. It doesn't matter. I have something brand new that I want to do with you. And I'm going to make your life over. And here's the cool thing. This is my favorite part of this passage. When Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus, then he saw the wind, he was afraid, he began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." He needed to be rescued. "You of little faith." You know, I don't think Jesus was condemning him. I was just like, you know, why did you lack faith? I'm making something great out of you. You're going to be the rock. I think he was saying it to him in a sweet way. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You know, you may never be famous. You may never be a Beth Moore or a Lisa Turkhurst or a Priscilla Shire. You may never be that. Because if you're waiting for your name to be announced, this was the only book in the Bible where it really mentioned Peter was the one that got out of the boat there. So the other guys didn't really pay that much attention to who it was. So your decisions to step out, do something different, let God use you in new ways that you've never thought of before, writing down, reflecting on Scripture every day so that He can have that in you. So when He calls you and He says, "Come," you'll be able to step out and go. And you'll understand what it feels like to step out into that unsure place. You'll be able to experience that. And when you do, there's nothing like it. When you step out into something you've never done before, and all of a sudden God shows up, it's amazing. And you want to do it again. You say, "Let's go again, God. Let's go again." In 2007, I was able to go to Ecuador. And I went there with Compassion International. And there we visited several places. One was Salvation Army, one was the United Methodist Church, another one was a Baptist. I mean, all the churches that had started things in Ecuador, Compassion kind of comes alongside them. And when I went, we were supposed to go and just it's kind of like you get to see if they're really doing what they say they're doing. And so I was watching. And one time I watched this little boy pushing a wheelchair up this rutted out pathway. And he was pushing his little sister. And there was no paved road. He's just pushing her up there so she can go to the Compassion Center. And that moved my heart. When I got there, I found out he does that every day, made like a couple mile trip every day just to take his little sister to the Compassion Center where they got food and medical and they learned about Jesus. And one home that I went to visit, the mom had 8 children and her husband worked down in the city and only got to come home like once a month. And they lived in this dirt floor house and so the floor was really sideways. We could take toys. I took a ball and jacks. Not a good idea on a slanted floor. The kids were like trying to figure out what to do with it. But in this house, there were 2 rooms, 8 kids. And on one wall was all corn and the other one was all potatoes. And that was what was going to get them through the winter. And Dolores was the mom. And I went to Dolores and I said, "Dolores, what can we do for you? What can we get you?" Because I'm thinking, I could come back and ask a bunch of the girls, "Hey, let's meet their need. Let's do something." And I said, "What do you need?" And she thought about it for a minute. And she said, I have everything I need. Just pray that my kids will grow to know and love Jesus. Wow. And I thought, if I would ask that question to a room like this, what one thing do you need? We'd probably say, oh, only one? I only get one? But the one kid that really moved me the most was Jonathan. Jonathan had been through the entire program, and he went to college, became a teacher, and he went back to his village to teach. And he was presenting to us that night, and I said, Jonathan, I've got to ask, buddy. I mean, you've got a degree. You can teach anywhere. What made you go back to your village? And he said, someday I'm going to stand in front of God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Ladies, I'm asking you that. Someday we're all going to stand in front of God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? You have a story to tell. You have a Christ to declare to the world. And he is saying, do you trust me? Do you trust my process? Will you step out of the boat? Will you show other people how to do this thing called life? Can they look at your life and see a difference? Someday, we're all going to stand in front of him, and he's going to ask that question. What did you do with what I gave you? Jesus is the one who takes us by the hand and makes sure that we will not fall when we doubt. And it's okay to doubt, as long as we reach out and ask him to lift us and make sure that we're on the right track. He is the one, and you are his precious pearl. And today, I've asked you guys to all write on these papers and put them in this basket, and I don't know if you all have, but I felt compelled to give something away today. And it's going to be this painting from Betty. This is a print of the original that she did. And it's just the pearl, and it's God's hand coming down. And I want to remind you that you are precious. Don't believe what the world tells you. Don't believe Satan's lies. You are priceless. You have a purpose. You have a story. And he wants to use you in ways that you have never imagined. I don't know if you're Paul or Peter, but today he's saying, just be mine. Just be mine. Let me take this and turn you into a priceless pearl. We don't have to come to him already cleaned up and ready. He is making us disciples. He is making us look more like his son, Jesus. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we are so flawed. But God, you know that. And we're so grateful that you don't mind all of our quirks and our doubts and our fears and our worry, Lord. But today, I pray that every woman in this place would absolutely surrender all of that to you. That she would no longer hold on to the things that she thinks she is. Lord, there are so many in this room that feel like they are the flawed glue. They feel like they're the wound, the bandage wound. They feel like they are the paint or the oil residue remover. God, would you tell them that today you want to make something brand new out of their life? Starting today, a line in the sand is drawn. And Father, would you help them to stand up with courage and say, I will go where you call me. God, will you give them that kind of courage? Will you teach them what that feels like moment by moment? God, someday we are going to stand in front of you. And we're going to see those that have gone before us. And we're going to stand and say, yes, Jesus, thank you for going to a cross for me. And here's my little bit that I did, God. And I lay it at your feet because you are the only one worthy of praise. You alone. God, will you work in the lives of these women as they leave this place so they will not leave here the same as they walk through those doors. God, do a mighty thing in each one of us so that we can stand together one day, arm in arm, and say, how great is our God. And all the women said, amen. I am going to draw from my basket, because if you got your name in, great. If you didn't, sorry. But I would like your name and contact information in here, because we're going to give away stuff. Okay. Haley Cartwright. Haley Cartwright, are you here? She left? Sorry, Haley. Barbara Benford. Woohoo! Barbara, you are precious. Don't ever forget it. Oh, hug me. Come on. Okay, ladies. I think I'm supposed to wrap it up. But I want to give you one last opportunity. I think there are many, many, many in this room who did not surrender at all. Because there's still some that are saying, but how? But why? But I don't understand. And God's just saying, just trust me with a little. Just be courageous with a little. And so once again, I'm going to ask all my prayer team to come over here. But as we do this and they play one song, we're going to give you one opportunity to come over here. And please make sure you put your contact information in this basket, any prayer requests that you have, because our team will pray and we will send it to our house of worship, and they pray 24/7 over your prayer requests. You are loved. God is making something out of your life. Don't resist it. Don't worry about it. Let's just stand and worship Him.